You know, I've titled the message about hearing God today, and you know, how bad do you want to hear from God? And honestly, it all depends upon how bad enough you want to work on it. Some of y'all might have seen, and I hope I can do it justice, but it was a little piece on Facebook about an old man. About 90 years of age, and he was sitting on a bench. And he was looking at his hands, and, you know, his hands were withered, and, you know, the veins were showing through, and, you know, they just looked like old hands, and he just kept staring at his hands. Well, his granddaughter walks over and sits down on the bench, and he doesn't say a word. He just keeps looking at his hands, and she waited for a few moments, thought maybe he might say something, and he still looked at his hands. And finally, she got concerned, and she said, "Grandpa, are you okay?" And he says, "I'm okay, but have you ever just really sat down and looked at your hands before?" She said, "Well, no, I haven't." He said, "Well, just look at these hands." He said, "You know, my old hands," he said, "you know, when I was just a baby, they didn't really have any use at all. I would just walk and fall." And he said, "The older I got, these old hands used to hold me up." He said, "Then when I went to work," he said, "these hands made my living for me every day." He said, "The older I got," he said, "those hands came together." And he said, "I prayed with those hands." And he said, "You know, someday," he said, "when it's all said and done," and he said, "my life is done here," he said, "these hands will be the hands that are going to touch the face of Jesus when I get to go home." And it went on and on, and it was such a wonderful deal. But the gist of this story was, is that these hands that you and I carry every day, we have no true understanding what they meant to us. But they were praying hands that took us to the feet of Jesus. Our ears are just as valuable to us today. How bad do you want to hear Jesus? How bad do you want to hear the voice? And honestly, it all depends how hard are you willing to work. And we've got an awesome, awesome Lord. One of the things that you and I have got to learn how to do, and it is a learning process, is that we have to be able to stir up a passion for the hunger of our Lord. You know, it's not just something, you know, Pam said, you know, she loves to go to Cheesecake Factory. And there's this salad. She said, "I love the salad because it just makes my tongue do a happy dance. I love it." We need a spiritual hunger inside of us that will make our tongues, our bodies, our ears, our eyes do this happy dance because we're with the Lord. See, the spiritual world is complex. But it's not any more complex than the physical world. You know, we learn how to drive. We, you know, learn how to use the square. We learn how to do all these kinds of things in the physical world. You have to learn the same way in the spiritual world. Learning to walk in the physical world was difficult because we fell down a whole lot. When you were little, you know, you got up, you walked, you fell down. You got up, you walked, you fell down. The difference, though, today is that for the adults, sometimes when the world knocks us down, we stay down. And I got to tell you that learning to walk in the spiritual world is very similar to learning to walk in the spiritual world. And even though you get knocked down, you and I have got to learn how to get back up. But my real question for all of us is, how hard are you willing to work? And do you really have the passion to live and walk by the Spirit, because it's a different world. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, and it begins with the word if we live by the Spirit, then let us also walk by the Spirit. You know, we went to the hospital the other day. He used to come, and it was kind of ironic the way that the family got here, but I had an opportunity to do a service at Forest Park years ago for a woman that had been murdered, and the funeral home had called and said, we know that you do these kinds of things. Would you come? And I said, yes. Well, there's a whole group of people that now attend our church that came from that funeral. And I ended up doing the mother's funeral of one of the people that came. Well, now daddy, and his name is Carlos Thatcher. A lot of y'all might know him, but he is in the hospital and he has cancer. Well, I saw the ministry that Dwight Raven has started, that ministry of hope. And I sat down and I talked to him and I shared with him, you know, all the things about God and, you know, that we were going to pray for him. And then I shared, but this man over here has walked the shoes that you're currently walking. And he looked at Dwight and Dwight began to talk to him. And it was almost as if the lights came on, because now you have somebody that's walking that journey, and it's the same journey that he was walking. Well, I'm here to tell you today that if we live by the Spirit, church, you have to have the boldness to walk by the Spirit. Amen. Will it make an understanding? No. Some things the Spirit will ask you to do make no sense at all, but the deal is if you live by it, you got to walk by it. Because if you don't walk by it, church, it's no good at all. Amen. When you and I pray, prayer is not a monologue. It's not a one-way conversation. It's not us just talking to God. But it's a dialogue. It's where two people are talking back and forth. Prayer is our link to God. You know, everybody gets frustrated to go, you know, God just doesn't speak to me. And maybe my question is, have you ever spoke to him? Because I think God talks to us all the time. But we are so busy in this world that we don't listen to what he has to say. And I want you to understand that prayer is meaningful. Prayer is effective. But church, prayer is power. A lot of people come from religious denominations where it's resuscitation. I came from the Lutheran Church, and we stood up every day, and we said the Apostles' Creed, or we said the Nicene Creed, and they were very awesome creeds, but they just became recitation. It's just something that you said, and it wasn't something that you really felt. But I want you to understand that today it's not resuscitation, it's not a monologue, but it's a dialogue, because when you sit down and you begin to pray to God, you are praying to a very awesome, dynamic, wonderful, powerful, miraculous, all-knowing, ever-present God. And I want us to begin to see that when we begin to pray, that we're touching the heavens. The Bible says what we would bind here is bound there. What we loose here is loosened there. We have a God that hears our prayer, and we have a God that candidly is all-powerful. And you and I, if we walk by the Spirit of our God, then we got to operate in the same Spirit. Look at John 5:19. It says, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something that he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. And then in John 14:12, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. See, church, if we're going to live by the Spirit, we have to walk by the Spirit because God is in heaven. Christ sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He has left with you and I the Spirit. And God says, now the task is yours. It's not mine. It's yours. And he says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do so that the Father may be glorified. When we went to Mr. Thatcher's room the other day, did we go because of us? No, we went to glorify God. We laid our hands on him. We prayed for him. We did everything God asked us to do, not for our glory, but for God's glory. And that passage ends, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, John 5, 19 and 20 says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these for one reason, so that you will be marveled. How awesome would it be for a non-believer to see the power of God today? I mean, how awesome would it be for an atheist that goes, I do not believe in God, I don't think God exists, but all of a sudden we bring God into the picture. I got called out the first time in months for the police department the other night because they couldn't find anybody to go. And as I walked up to the door, the lieutenant stopped me and he says, I got to tell you that this place is chaos inside. The dad is absolutely distraught. The mother has passed out. The son is angry. I mean, it was nothing but chaos. I said, okay. And I open the door and I see the dad walk over there. He's crying and I reach out and I grab him and I hug him. And I got to tell you, the presence of God fell in that room. There was no anger. There was nothing. It was just the peace of God that fell in that room. Yeah, I mean, give God a hand clap of praise. But the thing that's so awesome is that there's tons of people that are unbelievers that are a part of scenes like that. And when they get to see the Father God work in a horrific scene like we saw the other day, it's for one reason, so that the people will be marveled at the power of Almighty God. Now, here's items that you and I have to learn to have a purposeful prayer life. To know that you can have is most important of all. To know, church, not just to think, but to know that you can have a relationship with God through a spiritual experience. Not through some, you know, recitation, not through some mental prayer of some kind of dry dialogue, but truly that when we go in and the Bible says these are the signs that accompany them that believe, I'm telling you that you could have a relationship with God that you've never had before. If you live by the Spirit, you walk by the Spirit, and you will begin to see a spiritual experience that you've never had before, not because of you, but because of the one who lives inside of you. Now, the question is, how bad do you want it? Do you want to hear from God? And I know the answer, we all want to hear from God. But do we all hear from God? And I got to tell you, no. And it's not because he's not speaking, because we're not listening. The essence of prayer is with the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and the very God of all gods. Amen. Now, when you sit down and you fold your hands together and you begin to pray, you're literally praying to the great I Am. He is everything that you and I need in our life. He is peace, he is comfort, you know, I mean, he's conviction. I mean, he is everything that we need in our life. But again, I want you to understand that prayer is not just a monologue, it's not just a one way, it is a dialogue. You know, I've played golf my entire life. I loved Arnold Palmer, but he did not know me. I knew him, but he didn't know me. A lot of people here today will go, well, I know Jesus, and the Lord might go, well, I don't know you. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a sad day in the life of the churches, the day that we get raptured, because we're all going to stand in front of Jesus, and Jesus is going to say to some, or the Lord will go away. I have no clue who you are. I've never seen you. I don't know anything about you. And that's going to be a sad day. The other is that biblical principles of prayer guide us as we embrace the spiritual realm in our God-involved spiritual experiences. The other is that spirit-born actions and power flows as a natural result of the relationship that we have with God, causing my life to be of the spirit and not of the flesh. If God tells us to go in, I'm going to say it anyway. You'll probably go, I wish I wouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I prayed for Mike and Cindy one day. I had no idea Mike was going to go to the hospital the following day. And Cindy came up and she said, did Mike talk to you? And I went, no. I didn't know. Had no clue. And I'm telling you that spirit-born actions and power will flow as a natural result of our relationship with God so that we operate in the spirit and not in the flesh. Amen. God told me to go pray for him. Got no clue that they were going to the doctors. But see, God will speak to everyone in this room in the same manner. Now, I want you to really listen to this, because a person wrote it, and I've got their name at the end of it. One basic distinction between Christianity and religion is that Christianity goes beyond a simple code of ethics. It goes beyond a list of rules. It goes beyond the laws that one must follow. And it offers direct spiritual experiences with a very loving God. Now, we not only know about God, but we experience God. We not only say the sinner's prayer and accept by faith that we're saved, but we experience his spirit, bearing witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And we not only seek guidance from the laws of the Bible, but we also find guidance through the Spirit granting peace in our heart. And there is not one person in this room that doesn't want the peace that would surpass all human understanding. And it was written by Mark and Patty in a book that they had, Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice. Romans 8, 16 and 17 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit. Now, church, catch hold of this, because if you do, you'll leave here changed today. The Spirit testifies with our spirit. Amen. A lot of people will walk in this room today and you think that you are nothing and that you are nobody. You've had a rough week, tough week, whatever it might be. But the Holy Spirit testifies to our spirit that you and I are children of the Most High God. Amen. And if we are children, then we are heirs. And if we are heirs, then we are heirs of God. We are fellow heirs with Christ. You got everything that you need in this life. And it says, if indeed we suffer with him, so we will also be glorified with him. Amen. Now, he said that life would be difficult. He said, you and I are going to go through trials and temptations, not temptations, but tribulations. It's just tough. Life is tough. It's hard. Had a family call the other day again and asked me to do a service for them because their daughter was killed in an automobile accident. And I stood there and said, you know, I said, the Bible says silver and gold I ain't got. But what I do have is the Word of God. And the only thing that will bring you comfort today is going to be the Word of God, not me. And I imparted the Word of God into their lives. But what is so important for us is that you and I need to leave here today with a chest that is so puffed up with pride, not a bad pride, but a good pride, that when Satan comes against us, to go, wait a minute, I am a child of God. I am not a piece of trash. I am a child of the Most High God. I am an heir of the living God. And God's going to meet every need that I got in my life. God's going to do more for me than I could ever ask or think. I am a child of God. And when Satan begins to mess with you, man, we just need to lip him back, Trey. Back on. I'm a child of God. Amen. You ain't nothing. No, I'm a child of God. Let me tell you, I am even an heir of the kingdom. Amen. I am a child of God. And that's how we have to operate, because Satan wants to knock us down. But you and I've got to get back up. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living. See, when we speak the word of God into everybody's life, it's not just a bunch of black words on a white page. It is living words. It says God is living and active. Those words are sharper than a two-edged sword, and they will pierce as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the... Do you hear that one? Able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. You might keep all that stuff away from me, but you're not going to keep it away from the Lord, because he knows your thoughts and he knows everything about you. Ephesians 1 and 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom. The Bible says if you lack it, church, all you got to do is ask for it. And of revelation, that he begins to reveal the knowledge of truly who he is in your life. And I pray that our eyes of our, it says that, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know. Now hold on to this, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. Everyone here has been called by God. There is not one person in this room that has been called to sit on the pew. You have been called by God to do something great and something wonderful for him. I do not know what it is. But I know that God has a calling, and it is so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, which are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, how awesome would it be if you have the gift of healing, that you go to a hospital, lay your hands on someone, and that person is healed? How awesome would that be? Well, let's just take it a different direction altogether. How awesome would it be that someone is so tied up in their situation that you provide to them a word of wisdom to go, have you ever thought about this? Or if you're doing something that you know you probably shouldn't be doing, and someone comes and gives you a word of prophecy to go, let me tell you something. You can keep on going where you're going. But I promise you, at the very end of that road, God said that you're not going to like that, that you need to turn around. So I pray that all of us would know the hope of the calling that God has put on our life. Now, we do not pray according to our own desires, but you pray according to the burdens that God puts on your heart. And I know that that's where we said before, that if you have been called by the Spirit, then you need to walk in the Spirit. And God's going to ask you to do things according to his plan and his purpose. You know, I'm so proud of Marcus, man. I mean, it is cool to see you come and you got baptized today. And, you know, I mean, I know where all of us used to be, and I know where we are today. And I know it's only because of God that we got here. Amen. And God's going to do more for this family than they could ever ask or ever think because of their obedience to him. But I tell you, our hearts in prayer have to be in harmony with His will. You know, we prayed with a guy at Star Hope one night, and he says, I need a car. I said, okay, let's pray for a car. He says, could I have a Cadillac? I said, that's going to be between you and God. But I said, if you want a Cadillac, the Bible says He gives you the desires of your heart. Let's pray for a Cadillac. Now, I never know if He got a Cadillac or if He got a Volkswagen. I just hope He got some wheels so that He could drive. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says, but just as it is written, things which eyes have not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Amen. See, I don't think you and I truly understand all that God has done for us. How many times have you driven down the street and God protected you from that wreck? How many times have you gone someplace and God said, don't go, and you didn't go only to know that something happened over there? You know, and it goes back, things which eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. God is out there, and His Spirit will speak to our spirit. Yes. Divine revelation within our spirit. We come to know truth with our hearts and our spirit rather than our minds. I got to tell you, there's a lot of people that have read the Bible 15, 20 times, and all they have is head knowledge. But I know people that have read the Bible one time and they have heart knowledge, and it's something totally different. We come to know truth with our hearts and our spirits rather than our minds, and God reveals things that our natural eyes and ears could have never sensed through His Spirit speaking directly to our spirit. Romans 8 and 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. And then Luke says, they said to one another. Now, this is so cool. Were not our hearts burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road, while He was explaining the Scripture to us? Through intuition, we sense the promptings of the Holy Spirit and the voice of our God. Lady was coming out of Walmart the other day. It's been some time back, but she had a stroller and a baby, and that little baby had more hoses coming out of it than I've ever seen before. And you know, I got out of the way, she walked by, and I walked back in, and Lord goes, really? And I went, what do you mean? Did you need to go pray for them? I'm like, yeah, this is Walmart, man. You know, this is in the garden section, man. Go pray for them. So I walked back and I asked the lady, I said, listen, I got to tell you, God asked me to pray for you and your baby. Is that okay? And she said, I would love for you to do that. And right in the middle of the aisle where we're sitting down there, I'm on my knees and I'm holding this little baby that might have been 2 years old. You know, I didn't hold him, but I put my hands on him and I prayed for the little bugger. He was so cute. And I don't know, that's the last I've seen him. But I got to tell you that through intuitions, God is going to prompt you to do things. And if you're walking, you are living by the Spirit, you got to walk in the Spirit, and you got to do what God tells you to do. Here's the use and the abuse of Scripture, but hear my heart. You search the Scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you might have life. Read the Scriptures, church, all you want. But if you're not willing to obey, if you're not willing to seek Him, if you're not willing to do, the Scriptures are no good at all. Pam and I went out of town years and years ago, and we were trying to find a place, and Lord, we just kept getting further and further away, and finally we found out the map was upside down. You know, yeah, I'm just telling you, you know. So, you know, If you don't read it right, it's not going to do you any good at all. It pulls you further away. And I got to tell you that, you know, you can search all you want. But there's something that's important here. He's the vine. You and I are the branches. And Scripture says apart from Him, you can do absolutely nothing. And we have to take a 10-inch journey from our head to our heart. You can read the Bible 1,000 times if you want to, 10,000 times if you want to. You can memorize every word on every page, but only through the access of Christ to God and the power of the Holy Spirit can we accomplish the will of God. Now, that's got to tell you something, church. It's not about you. It's about what God wants to do in you and through you. But it's about obedience also. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living." So when you come in and you take your Bible, that's a living word that you have in your hand. When you and I speak the word of God, that is living words. Those words come out, they're alive, and they're active, and they are sharper than a two-edged sword. But when you and I speak, they pierce as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints, the marrow, and they're able to judge our thoughts and our intentions. Church, what you put into something determines what you get out of something and how hard you're willing to work to hear the voice of God is all dependent upon you. Church, I pray that you will sit down when you go home today, that you'll look at your hands. And I pray that you'll look at those hands in such a way to go, one day, these will be the hands that's going to touch the face of Jesus. But I also pray in the midst of this that you will look at these hands to go that these are also praying hands. Amen. And that when I put my hands together that I can pray and speak to a God, not in a monologue, but in a dialogue. And that when I speak to God, I speak to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of all gods. I speak to a God that's all-powerful, and if I am willing, he will speak, and I will hear. Let's give God a hand clap.